Welcome to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. I am Austin, and I'm joined here with Charlie.
What's up? Hello.
And today we have something that we've been interested in for a long time, and we felt like it was a little timely to discuss that today, and that is Call of Duty Zombies, or Nazi Zombies.
Yeah, we mentioned this subject on our last podcast when we talked about what we were playing recently, and this is a game mode which we've been playing for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing this together for, I don't know, maybe 3 years or something?
A couple years for sure, yeah, and then pretty separately, regularly. We've both been playing this mode for 10 years or something like that.
I think the first one was in like 2008. Or nine,
yep.
So like 20 years, I guess, technically.
That was 10 years ago.
Oh, right, yeah. That's what I mean.
We actually talked about Call of Duty Zombies quite a bit in our 15th podcast, which was titled Killing Nazis in Video Games.
Right, which this obviously fits into that subject rather nicely. But I mean, Nazi Zombies is a broad subject. You know, we've got Wolfenstein. I mean, zombies in games in general is also a pretty broad subject, with Resident Evil, Left 4 Dead. So Call of Duty Zombies is kind of a very specific niche.
Yeah, though, I've never seen a podcast which is just about this game mode.
Right.
A lot of people talk about Call of Duty, and in our last podcast, when we talked about the influence the Chinese games have on the global games industry, we talked about Electronic Arts and Activision and developers which are big in China, and one of those is Call of Duty Mobile,
right,
which was developed by Tencent, and it's sort of a PUBG-like game on smartphones.
Right.
And so that just came out not that long ago this year, I believe this summer, and there is a Call of Duty Zombies mobile game, two of them.
There's two of them. There's a World at War one and a Black Ops one.
Right, but those both kind of seem like ancient history at this point.
They kind of are. I mean, the last one came out, you know, 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, 2011, so almost 10 years ago. Yeah. And as you said, it's kind of timely because it's sort of the last Black Ops 4 Zombies Sage was just released. And it wraps up the story element.
The Aether story.
Yeah, which has been going on for a long time. So it's a bit of a conclusion for at least the story mode of Call of Duty Zombies. And we really enjoyed this game mode, and we thought it would be cool to talk about this and share some of the background story on it and why we think it's so much fun, and hopefully get some other people interested in checking it out.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I don't think either of us were ever really interested in the story. I think I have gotten more interested recently, but I mean, with the way the series started out, it was all about survival. You know what I mean? The first few maps, that's really all there is, and the rest is left up to your imagination.
Yeah, totally.
Then it was later maps that they really started to build on the lore. And I don't know about you, but I didn't really play Black Ops too much. I just played it at friends' houses. I never owned that one. That's the only one I didn't own. So that was when the series really started to like get into the deep lore.
Yeah, but zombies. The first real mode was in Call of Duty Black Ops. And actually, there's an interesting quote inside the manual, which I'd like to share as we kind of describe this game mode for people who aren't familiar with it. In the manual of Call of Duty Black Ops, it said, "Survive the zombie hordes alone or cooperatively. Repel wave after wave of increasingly deadly zombies in a number of frightening locales. But be warned, there are more than just zombies lurking these dark hallways." So for anyone who's not familiar, it's basically 1-4 player survival mode, which features a lot of the familiar things in Call of Duty. It's a first-person shooter mode. It has a lot of the familiar weapons and even some of the familiar maps, which you would play in Call of Duty. You are only fighting endless waves of attacking zombies, earning points from killing or damaging zombies and repairing barriers. So yeah. Usually you're inside a confined space, and there are zombies kind of coming in at you, and you have to repel them, kill them, earn points, and then you can open up different barriers, different doors, exploring different places inside the map. And as time has gone on, these maps have gotten really large, really intricate.
Very, very complex, as well as like a lot of subtleties to them, and the strategy can change depending on what map you're playing on. I mean, you know, you mentioned boarding up windows and stuff, but that almost becomes irrelevant in some of the later maps.
Yeah, maybe we should start kind of with how the series begun with World at War.
Okay, so with World at War,
this was the Call of Duty World War II game.
Right, and which it was kind the of last a World War II game up until the Call of Duty World War II.
Yeah, that's right. The recent Call of Duty World War II game. But that one way back then was kind of a return to
the roots.
Yeah, to the roots. It's funny. And now we're returning again to the roots.
Roots of the roots.
Yeah, because Call of Duty is just such a long-standing franchise.
But what made that one interesting was that it was a four-player co-op. It was a campaign designed for four-player co-op. So, and a lot of the, I mean, I think before that, none of the campaigns had cooperative campaigns. There have been co-op campaigns since then, but that was, you know, a big, big selling point for the game. And they were coming in hot off of the success of Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, which was like huge, you know?
Yeah. So you finished World at War, right? I'm pretty sure you did. I did also.
Yeah, I finished it.
Yeah. Great, great game. Great story. You know, neat. Good enough. And then at the end,
it's an Easter egg. Yeah, they never marketed it, didn't promote it, didn't push it, but
the credits roll, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you're in this sort of bunker-like German facility.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what's going on. It's like misty and very dark, and it has sort of unique music and sound effects and all these kind of peculiar features inside the building which you're in.
Right.
And then zombies come inside of the windows, and you have to repel them and keep the windows boarded up. And you can open a door and go into some other areas. But it's basically just a survival mode, which goes on forever. You inevitably lose. There's no way to really win. It's just a matter of how long you can survive. And it really requires a lot of cooperation and planning. And it's just a super fun mode, which is really simple. There's not really, at that time, there was no story to it. There were no real characters to it. It was just like a bare bones fun experience.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the mechanics that have become standard in the series now weren't even introduced at that point. You know, it was really simple and to the point. But I mean, even the characters didn't have voices or anything. It left a lot up to imagination, you know? And due to the nature of the way it was introduced, without it being, you know, marketed or anything, you know, I think led to a lot more people talking about it.
Yeah, the subtlety of that was definitely intriguing, because when you think of Call of Duty, you think of like over-the-top action sequences, big set pieces. It's like a large, you know, AAA, you know, movie.
Extravaganza.
It's like a movie experience, you know, and Call of Duty Zombies is traditionally not really like that. Although it has gone on for a decade now, as we've said, and it's grown into this whole other thing. But looking at the roots of it, it's interesting how it started as such a small, organic, sort of humble experience, and it's like caught on and really created its own game within a game.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, so it actually almost didn't come to fruition, but I'm sure glad that it did. It was pulling away resources. They didn't really think that it fit into Call of Duty, especially with the serious nature of World at War, where, I mean, the game ends with you dropping an atomic bomb, you know, like it's very graphic, very mature story. And they thought, what place does this kind of, you know, goofy side thing have to do with this, you know, serious, mature story?
Now it's like definitely a tongue-in-cheek, goofy sort of extravaganza. But at the time in the first one, World at War, there was not many jokes in that one.
There was no jokes. There was no, I mean, not at, at least not at the introduction of the first map. Now, that caught on, got incredibly popular in World at War. So the introduction with the DLC of new zombies maps, which added new mechanics, added voice acting, and it changed.
Yeah, so it's grown into such a big thing. Speaking of the voice acting alone, it's featured, the Call of Duty, you know, franchise has featured so many famous actors that everybody
Sarah
knows.
Michelle Gellar,
just in Zombies alone, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that was so awesome. That was Shadows of Evil, I think.
Yeah, that's correct. Ron Perlman, Heather Graham from Boogie Nights. I mean, just so many actors and actresses.
Was Ron Perlman the Mob of the Dead?
He was in Black Ops 3. I'm not sure which map it was.
No, maybe he was in the Shadows of the
I'm not sure which one, but it was definitely Black Ops 3. He also shot a promo, like commercial for it, where Ron Perlman's like, when I'm killing zombies, I like to use monkey bombs and like the shield. And but he's referencing all these kind of obscure things inside the zombies mode in Call of Duty, which is neat. So we've been playing this for a couple years now. We started out playing it with a friend in Beijing on Steam. So it's available on Xbox, on PlayStation 4, and on PC.
I mean, I was burnt out on Call of Duty. If you remember, you and Dan had gotten it in a humble bundle, I think, and I hadn't got that one. And you had to push me to get it. I was like, Call of Duty's lame, series is burnout, this is stupid, I don't want, fuck that shit. And then the Zombies Chronicles edition came out, you encouraged me to get it, and like we dove deep into that with like some pretty regular sessions going like late.
Yeah.
And we played split screen. I remember I had Jacob come over and that was cool. Jacob and I played split screen online with you here at your place and Dan in Beijing, and I don't know, it's like a very special game playing like together with friends, whether or not it's two of you on the couch together or online. And I think a lot of friendships have formed out of playing zombies together.
Yeah.
You and your old roommate played together.
It's definitely something you play with friends. It's not really a mode that you go online to play with strangers with quite as much.
It just doesn't feel the same.
Doesn't feel the same. Also, it seems like the player base online is just not quite there compared to the multiplayer mode in Call of Duty. So playing with friends really is best. You can play two-player split screen. On the most recent iteration in Black Ops 4, split screen is kind of a mess with more than two players, but playing online is usually the way which people do it. And in China, we both use the Chio accelerator, which works for PlayStation 4 and Switch, and that provides really fantastic lag-free gameplay.
You said on the most recent one, it's kind of a mess with more than two players. But before this one, they never even allowed more than two players. So it's interesting that they would even include that when it turned out to be such a mess. I mean, where like boards weren't loading, like you couldn't interact with objects. It was literally unplayable.
It's like 10 frame per second.
Yeah.
Super slow, terrible performance.
Playing a PowerPoint, man. You know, just slide by slide.
Clearly just not their priority to focus on split screen. But in any case, it works great online in China, given that you're playing with friends who are also in China, even better if you're using an accelerator. But basically, it's a game you play with friends. Like you said, I played it with my Chinese roommate, you know, 10 years ago. We played almost all of them. We played World at War. We played Black Ops. We played Black Ops 2. And so we just, it's probably our main game that we played, I'd say. We played that game a whole lot. And had so much fun with it. It's so difficult. It can be really frustrating at times because the game is not super forgiving.
Right.
In that, you know, in the normal mode in Call of Duty, you get shot and it's like, whatever, you hide behind a rock and like in 5 seconds, you're fine. And you just go out and you get shot again. So getting shot is like a routine occurrence in Call of Duty in general. But in the zombies mode, generally, if you get hit twice inside of about a 5 second period, then you go down. And then when you go down, I mean, if all the players in a match go down, then it's over. You cannot restore a save. You cannot save a game. You cannot resume from a wave which you were at previously. So it's pretty punishing in terms of difficulty. So it really rewards skilled play and planning.
Yeah.
So when you die, it's usually like, oh, let's give it a shot again. This time we'll go here.
We'll get to this round. Or like, you know, you theorize about what didn't work that time and what you can do better that's potentially going to overcome whatever difficulties you ran into there.
Yeah, and the quickness of it I find really satisfying.
Yeah.
The idea you can just play like a couple rounds or even just one round, which can last, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes, but
or longer.
They're usually short sequences. It's not like a game you're going to be playing for many hours like Civilization.
Right. Well, I mean, you may, but you don't
have
to.
If you want to, but that would be like many different matches.
Or it could be one match if it was like that one match where that guy kept reviving us with his like wonder weapons and everything, and we were like 2 hours into it or something, just like, why won't you let us die?
Right. So this goes back to kind of the complexity of the maps. So some of the later maps, there are actually 27 different zombies maps.
And there were 29.
27, according 27. To what I read. But
okay.
Some of these are very complex and very large. And some of them include Easter eggs where you can actually complete the map. But completion of the map involves just the most long and detailed, complex series of actions which you have to take. And
I mean, using Morse code or things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Just, I mean, incredibly. I mean, if we were to describe all the details, I mean, just on like the Blood of the Dead map.
I mean, just describing how you get the shield, which is really simple.
Right. You've got to go around the map. You've got to find the hounds. You've got to feed all the hounds. You've got to go into the laboratory. You've got to get the spoon. You've got to get the pack-a-punch. You've got to do so many. You got to get the monkey bomb. I mean, it sounds like we're speaking a different language to people who aren't familiar with all this stuff. So there's a lot involved. And if you watch online, you know, there are like world records for people completing a map and, you know, and stuff like this, or people get into like round 100 or even past that. I think there was someone got to like round 900 in one map, and it was
ludicrous.
Like, do you know how long it took?
Probably like 15 hours.
It was like 80 hours.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was like play the game like 8 hours at a time and then pause it, go to sleep. Next day, 8 more hours, like 10 days of that to get to like round 900. And I think that at the end he was just like, fuck it. You know, I'm not sure if he actually died. You can basically like play it forever.
If you're really skilled and you get the right weapons and stuff, you can essentially become, you know, unstoppable.
Yeah, but it requires a really high level skill to do that. It's a tough mode.
Mastery of the map, understanding of the weapons, understanding of how to use the items to continually get by. You run into problems like, okay, I'm doing real good. And you think you could get real far, but you run out of ammo for your special weapon that you have or something. And then you go down. I mean, you have to know how to deal with all of the problems that can come up. And it's, you know, it's not like it turns out the same every time, you know? So
it's different almost every time. Almost every time is different. The artificial intelligence for the zombies is pretty intelligent. You actually described to me recently how in the latest iteration, Black Ops 4, you know, obviously, zombies emerge from wherever you are in the map. So some of the maps are very large. No matter where you are, there are zombies approaching you from all sorts of different directions around you, depending on where you are. And in the latest iteration, Black Ops 4, they actually intelligently calculate where you're moving to. Yeah, and so they emerge from that area. Because the natural strategy is to constantly be moving and to always have a trail of zombies behind you.
Yeah, get them behind you. Maybe get them all to congregate in an area. And then run out of that area, move somewhere where you can take them off one by one. That was the strategy before you. And you would kite the zombies around.
Kite the zombies. Where'd you learn this term?
From watching zombies videos.
Okay. Yeah. So kite means to lead the zombies.
Yeah. So you would do that. And then you would bring them to a place. You would recover your health or whatever, get to a place where you'd feel confident you can take them down. And you'd repeat that over and over. Whereas in the new one, just running anywhere puts yourself at risk because they're going to be spawning out of new areas in front of you. So,
yeah.
I mean, the only way that you can maybe avoid having them spawn immediately in front of you is by running up to a door you haven't opened and then taking out a few of them. When it gets hectic there, you open the door and you know they're not going to be there immediately. There will be barriers up in place of them. You have a chance to recover for a few moments, but then that place is open to them anytime in the future.
Right. So there's just a huge amount of depth and strategy to the game, and it really depends on which map you're playing because each map sort of requires a different strategy because the paths are different, the circumstances of each map are different, the items are different, the weapons are different, and there are two different storylines. So, and those
there
include...
Are now.
Those include all sorts of different details as well.
I mean, even in the main storyline for the last year, there are like different dimensions and timelines. So it's really hard to follow. Actually, I looked up a little bit of that. You want to know some of the interesting pieces of the plot?
Yeah, I was kind of actually going to ask you about the plot.
Okay, so, well, we know the character Rick Dolphin. He's like...
There are four characters, right, originally?
Originally four characters. I think it's Tank Dempsey, Rick Dolphin, who's like a German scientist.
The Japanese.
I can't even remember how to pronounce his name. But there's four guys of different cultural ethnicities. And before they even like, I mean, there's like stories that are like Black Ops 3 portions of the story are occurring before World at War, where there's like keepers. In the beginning of everything, they created this perfect dimension, and then they like created another dimension, and it was where the zombies are from. And then there was a rift between the keepers, and some sided with like the evil side, and some sided with it, and they fought, and then they got the bad ones lost and got banished to that other side, and they like created the element 115 or whatever, which is those weird glowing rocks you see like all around the maps and stuff, and that opened portals that allowed the zombies to come into the universe. Now Richthofen and this other guy Maxis were like experimenting with that shit, and then they like basically brought zombies into the world, go crazy. There's two different timelines. Now there's a good Richthofen and a bad one.
There's a zombie one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one of them teleports like Maxis and his daughter, who like is in some of the maps, you can hear her talking to you. She's this like crazy, just twisted little dark girl or whatever, and her
classic horror trope.
Yeah, and she had gone into the teleporter following her dog, and the dog is actually what became the hellhounds in the series.
Okay,
so the dog went through the teleporter and got like all fucked up and twisted and shit, and now that shit spawns and chases you all around the map. But basically there's a battle between the good and bad sides of the timelines and stuff vying for control. And in doing all of this, they like go through things and go through all this stuff and lead to this huge battle and all this stuff. And they fucked up things for recreating the perfect dimension and getting access to it. So to go back and do it, they go back in time. And this is like having to do with like the Pentagon stuff and all that stuff. That's why they're like, I mean, the Pentagon map was originally had you playing as like Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
That's right. Like JFK.
Yeah. JFK and like a few others. But like the whole thing is that they go back and do all this stuff and realize that they're the ones that caused all of this stuff to happen. So now they start the whole cycle of events again. And it keeps going over and over. And any stuff that goes wrong or something starts another timeline. So there's all these like timelines.
So it's incredibly confusing.